Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to be with you on March the 12th, now March the 13th on the East Coast. And we don't have a special guest tonight, per se. I'm going to sort of do it alone, unless you should call in and wish to make a comment or just join in the discussion. I gave a lot of thought to what I might want to discuss this evening, and then I gave it no thought, and the same thing came through. Kind of funny, if you know what I mean. Those of you out there that use discernment in making your decisions, I gave a serious look at all the things that are going on in the world, and just looking at all the chaos that's out there. Of course, some of you may or may not have heard that there was a major earthquake. Preliminary results said that it was a 7.5 earthquake in China. And I had heard, now I haven't read this yet, I haven't done enough research on it. I was working on something totally different today, but I heard possibly as many as 10,000 people were killed. So we could say a prayer for the victims of an earthquake. Even if it's one person, they deserve our prayers. This is really chaotic times all over the planet, and there are more instigations of let's say unrest taking place in the Middle East. It seems the powers that be are just striving to create a nuclear war. They just have to have that big bang. Evidently 9/11 and the London bombings, the Bali bombings, the Madrid, Spain train bombings were not enough, not to mention the recent attacks that hit Tokyo a number of years ago. This insanity is just increasing, and I sense all the fear in the voices, in the talk show hosts' voices, and it's a pretty matter-of-fact thing. This stuff is going to go on until this evil is purged off of this planet. We know the balance or the scales have been tipped way out of balance. The balance is off. It's been favoring the dark for thousands of years, probably a steady 15,000 years, and the pendulum is now swinging in a different direction. And before that happens, there's got to be the chaos that tries to hold on to that paradigm. And as a result, many people who are just waking up to what's going on, and really they're reacting to all of these scripted, orchestrated events that are occurring. We know that there's technology to even create earthquakes. So is it the earth that's doing her thing, or is it man messing around with God's laws and the universal laws and wreaking this havoc intentionally? April 22nd, I had issued a warning that we should be careful about the time period around May the 8th. That was spiritual discernment that was telling me that, based upon the orchestrated release of an Osama bin Laden and an al-Zawahiri, his second in command, al-Qaeda tapes. Now, half the world knows something is not right with this whole Al-Qaeda business. But the other half is totally ignorant of it. And I'm not even implying that the half that knows something is wrong knows the answer as to who's behind all of this stuff. We know, those of us who have researched this in depth, any of the issues that are related to what the CIA or the MI6, the MI5, the Israeli Mossad, the Vatican, the Jesuit Order, the Skull and Bones, the Dachau DVD, Zionists in general. We could start naming governments, but these are all the secret societies, including the dark elements of the Freemason society or societies. They're all plotting this together. This is all the bad guys. This is all a bunch of criminals, period. It's just pure crime being committed in the name and under the color of authority, the authority of the law, law enforcement, military power, banking industry, the military industrial complex, oil companies, pharmaceutical companies, all the big money people are behind this because they're raping us of all of our assets just for this insatiable greed and this insatiable struggle to obtain more power. The thing about now is that there's lots of light coming here to the planet, and because that's changing things, they're trying to keep everything in the dark. And that there's sort of a pun in that, but that's really what they're trying to do. They keep us in the dark. When they're keeping us in the dark, it has more to do than just not telling us what's going on. But literally, they're trying to keep us in the negative. They're trying to keep us in this evil. They're trying to keep us in our consciousness from rising to another level to where we can see what's going on. On past shows, I've talked about stepping outside the box and how one can do that. You can't be in the box and see what things look like outside the box until you get outside the box. In fact, you can't even see clearly what's going on inside the box until you do step outside the box and then look into the box from outside. But you have to be outside in all of your consciousness, in your thought processes, in your discernment, and not let it affect you. And it requires seeing things as they really are. Now, if these are things that you can step outside of, then they must be illusions. In fact, they are illusions. They're very crafted, carefully crafted tricks, magic acts, alchemy, all of the lesser known aspects of metaphysical science. And metaphysical isn't necessarily, I'll put the word necessarily in there, witchcraft or paganism, as the religious people like to call it. Metaphysics merely means the study of what is beyond science. And science has been alchemy, and it's been mind control, and it's been brainwashing. And I'm speaking about organized science and the repression of information and the repression of society and the repression of growth and change and evolution and a higher consciousness. It's devoid of love. It's devoid of light. It's devoid of peace. It's devoid of joy. And it's devoid, most of the time, even of God. These people are replacing God, at least in the illusion they're replacing God. And if they can get you to believe in their illusions that they create, that they script out and act out with all this power that we give them, then you are stuck in that inside the box. You're stuck in the matrix, as it's sometimes referred. How do you get out of the matrix? Recognize, first of all, that you have a choice. Whether or not you choose to stay in the matrix is your business. No one can force you to leave the matrix. If that's where you find your comfort, if being in denial that these things are occurring is what makes you happy, then so be it. You have my blessing. And anyone else that understands these principles and understands universal law will say the same thing. This is a free will universe. You have the choice. If you choose to be in the matrix, be there. But then don't complain about it when things don't go your way, your specific way. With the matrix and this belief system that causes you to accept illusions, what are illusions? They're false ideas, they're beliefs. They're deceptions. They're impressions that are deceptive, or they are appearances that are deceptive in nature. Or things that we wrongly perceive because we're not seeing the truth in it. Or we're not seeing, in the illusion, we're not seeing what is false. So illusions are not based upon truth, yet they exist. So there is a truth that they are illusions. That's the only truth that's in them. And the repetition and the bombardment of your psyche and the siphoning off of your psychic energy is part of what is being done to the masses. They do this to me, they do this to you, they do this to everyone, except themselves, because they're behind it, and they know it's an illusion, and it's all planned out. Now, you can see this if you watch television and listen to what the announcers are saying. You ever question the fact that you're seeing pictures, and there's a voice talking, and this voice is usually a deep male voice, or it's a real soft feminine voice that's kind of stroking your soul, plucking at your heartstrings, getting you to fall in love with the product, or it's a cheerful voice, and it's designed to reach an emotional part of your being, because people are very emotional, especially when they're being mind controlled. That's all they have left is their emotions. But their emotions can be played just like a musician, a well-trained musician plays an instrument. He can make it sound, he or she can make it sound like a multitude of instruments. I used to listen, well, I still do. I would listen to Ella Fitzgerald and hear her scat, and she could make the sound of a trombone with her voice, and then a saxophone, and then a trumpet. And then she sang, and she sang in tune, and she knew lyrics, and she never messed up the lyrics, never messed up the melody, had a very free-flowing feel, spontaneous feel for the music. She was a jazz singer, and there was nothing evil about the music that she sang, unlike what many people that consider themselves to be Christians think. I look at Christianity, and I see the hypocrisy in many of the false, the false denominations and the false prophecy that's in Christianity, in organized Christianity. And you have these people that are saying that if a woman wears makeup, then she's evil. Or if her dress is not below her knee, she's evil. She's a harlot. Or a whore. They use terms like that to control women, to belittle women. All this is going on television while the very preacher that's on the camera is wearing all kinds of makeup himself. Eyeliner, mascara, the whole nine yards. The hypocrisy is immense. But these, talking about these things and looking at these realities, because when you see these things, And you know God has gifted you the ability to see these things. You don't have to keep questioning God if he's the one showing them to you, if you know the frequency, if you know where it is, if your intention has already been set on perceiving it from the light, not in darkness, not being tricked into believing it or deceived into believing it, not seeing it as an illusion. And the forces of evil that exist will do whatever they can at any opportunity, if you haven't taken those precautions in your discernment, to add to the brainwashing. After all, the people that are doing this to mankind are consumed by demons and evil entities or negative entities. Psychic vampires, I sometimes call them. They're like leeches. They want to suck the life out of you. They want to suck your life's blood out of you. And they hold their own bloodlines in high esteem, although they know they're criminals. They know they're corrupt. It is a sickness. It is a disease of the lowest order. And then what do they do to the populace through their medical community? It's funny. They take a Hippocratic oath, and they are hypocritical in that oath. And the pharmaceutical companies could care less if you die, because there'll be another victim to take your place, to take the toxins that they like to call medicines in their perversions. If you haven't noticed, when you watch TV and you're watching a commercial, look at the color of people's hair. Do you think it's an accident that most of the people that are in commercials, now it's not 100%. You don't see that many people of color that have orange or red hair. But at every opportunity, they will put red hues. Actually, Satan's favorite color is red, like blood. It's the color that was chosen for Santa Claus's snowsuit or his outfit. Red, blood red, crimson red. Cherry red, whatever connotation you want to put on the color, it's red. Then they soften it up a little bit with a little bit of white trim on his hat and a little white ball on the end. People don't even see the phallic symbol in the hat. And the elves, it's the same thing. And they change the word Christmas to Xmas. In fact, the word Christmas is leading to that. And they turn the fictitious birthday of Jesus Christ into a pagan holiday. And what happens at that time? People spend money, and they're driven and compelled to spend money, and they respond to ads, and they respond to flyers and magazines and pictures and images. All of these things, because people like to think the easiest way is to just look at something, and they don't even see the truth behind it. They just see the surface, because they're inside the matrix. And the matrix dictates the rules. They show you what they want you to see, and they present it to you in the most effective way for them to achieve their goal. This is done in politics. When and I'll use politics as an example. What are called the state caucuses. This is where they are voting for the presidential candidates as they're sorting out who is going to make it to the national conventions, and whose delegates are they going to garner? Because it's really not about your vote. In fact, there were stories from day one, from Iowa, New Hampshire, about voting corruption. Everybody forgot about that. Now everybody's sold into this thing, Barack Obama is winning, or Hillary Clinton is winning, or John McCain is winning. John McCain was a wet spot when this election started. Ron Paul had 57% of the vote, from what I heard from a preliminary results in the state of Missouri. And when he was finished, he had 2 or 3% of the total vote. It doesn't work that way, folks. The elections were corrupt, and everyone now forgot that. Now they're talking about Barack Obama's minister. Why aren't they talking about the guy that does his laundry, or the woman that does his laundry? It's probably the guy, actually, but they have everyone feeding off of all this mind control. I watch it. You know, I have no passion about who's running for the presidency of the United States, because it's a joke. These are puppets. You might as well vote for Pinocchio or Little Chucky or the ventriloquist dummy in the movie Magic that featured Anthony Hopkins and Anne Margaret. And Ed Lauder and Burgess Meredith. Those were like four actors in that whole movie. Really, one of them is just a wooden puppet. You might as well vote for those people, because you're going to get at least some jokes out of those characters. Or a story. These people are nightmares. And I hear people say, oh, well, Hillary would be better than Barack. On what do you base that kind of a statement? What do you know about Hillary Clinton? Have you read the Clinton body count? Have you read that? Have you heard their former hatchet man, Larry Nichols, who's making the rounds on internet talk show and AM, FM talk shows around the country, acting as a shill for the Clintons? Telling you how bad they are, but he won't say why they're bad. He won't say what they do. He won't let you know that he killed people for them, because he'll incriminate himself. I can't blame him for not telling you that. But at the same time, he will not tell you that he's working for the Clintons. And I had him booked on my show about 6 weeks ago or so, and he canceled 1 hour before the show because he knew I was going to ask probing and challenging questions. I was going to get at the truth. And he didn't want the truth to come out because he's working for the Clintons. And I hear these people, oh, Hillary Clinton is for health care. They've been saying that for 50, 60, 70 years. Do we have health care? And they want to socialize it. They want to make it like communist Russia. But you don't study that. You're just listening to what they're saying. Look at your bank account. Look in your wallet and see how much money you have. Or look inside your pocket and see how much money you have. And ask yourself what you're working for. Who's taking all your money? Where's it going? Hillary's good for the country. She was engaged in lesbian acts in the White House while her husband was engaging in oral sex with an intern in the Oval Office. Did everyone forget that? Did everyone forget the MENA, Arkansas drug business that Clinton ran? Did they forget all the women he raped that filed charges? They had one woman's husband murdered, Catherine Willey, when she went to Clinton to beg for a job, he groped her. And you had Paula Jones and Jennifer Flowers and on and on and on. And if you did some research, you'd see the names attached to Hillary Clinton. How many women she has slept with. And she and Bill both probably had Vince Foster murdered when she took $50 million. $250 million, I misspoke. $250 million in 1993, just days before Vince Foster supposedly committed suicide. Oh, my life is so despondent. I'm going to commit suicide. But before I do, let me hop on a plane, go to Switzerland, and pick up $250 million, bring it back to Hillary Clinton for her children's defense fund. Come on, people. Wake up. Oh, she's good for the country. She's good for nothing for the country. What country is left, for that matter, now that we're on the topic? You say, oh, well, we're the land of the free. You don't have a clue what you're saying when you say that. You don't have a clue about it. Now, I may sound like I'm jumping down my audience's throat, my regular listening audience. You know me well enough to know that I'm just speaking the truth right now. And it's this truth that's flowing through me. I'll credit the Holy Spirit. I'll give the credit to the Lord because I gave this a lot of thought before I came on the air. In fact, I spent the whole weekend contemplating what I was going to say. And I had no idea until moments before the show started. So we're talking about illusions. Where are the illusions? Well, we have them in the movie industry. We have them in TV programs. I mean, they have TV programs now where people stand at a counter. They're given a suitcase. They don't know what's inside it. And then they ask women dressed in sexy outfits to open up their suitcase. And in the hope that when they finally get around to opening the suitcase that they are holding, there may be $1 million in it. And people stay fixed watching the screen. Or they sit through the worst singing you can imagine on American Idol, listening to people, dysfunctional judges, describing how somebody looks. They sing out of tune. They butcher songs, sometimes very nice songs. They butcher them. Singing them out of tune, singing the wrong lyrics, trying to be cool. And instead of telling them, well, Simon Cowell does from time to time, most of the time actually, but instead of being honest with them about, you know, you really shouldn't be in this competition. In fact, they pick them. These judges pick them. They decide who's going to be in it because it serves a purpose. It brainwashes the people watching the show. So they pick people that are moderately interesting or have a certain characteristic about them that's different from the norm, and they put them on this show. And people keep calling in and calling in, not thinking about that they're making millions of dollars just in the text messages that people are sending. And you never see the results. They just tell you what the results are. And you believe that you voted for that person. Just like you believe that you vote for the President of the United States. So they condition you for corrupt elections by putting on corrupt TV shows. And they call all these shows now, these new shows they've had for years, they call them reality shows. I remember MTV used to be really controversial with the middle-aged people, you know, the parents of the teenagers that would watch MTV. They didn't want them seeing rock and roll around the clock. They didn't want to have to babysit what they were watching. And little by little, MTV changed to where it doesn't even have anything to do with music. It's about people hanging out in a house, getting drunk, playing around with each other, doing drugs, smoking cigarettes, drinking, having psychotic breakdowns, fighting with each other, and you got kids, you've got two, three generations of people watching this stuff, wondering why the world screwed up, wondering why there's no good music anymore. Well, MTV really isn't the place to find music. It has nothing to do with it. It's as though they changed the word music television to moron television. Because you have to be a moron to sit and watch that. You really do. Soap operas. What is it about soap operas? People are so into gossip. Just, you know, so-and-so slept with so-and-so, and they had a baby, and they had a fight, and they lost their job, and you don't see that they're brainwashing you into preparing you for the same scenario. They're setting you up to have the same experiences in your life. And the up and down of professional sports, the high and the low, the rooting for the team, getting all emotional, getting it in while they're bombarding you with psychic messages, while they're playing the music of pedophiles and homosexuals. And I'm not making a judgment, I'm making an observation. People say, well, you know, Michael Jackson, you know, I really like his music. It's good dance music. That's one thing, okay? If you knew about his producer of his Thriller record, the big hit that he had, Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones used to be married to a woman, an actress, who was in the Mod Squad, Peggy Lipton. And Quincy Jones is the recipient of the sex slave ring favors that at one time were commandeered by America's best loved comedian, Bob Hope. Bob Hope had one sex slave. Her pen name is Bryce Taylor. Her given name is Susan Ford. And she was at a very young age, from the time she was born, basically, programmed by her father and then handed over to Bob Hope and Henry Kissinger to use against presidents and celebrities and anyone they wanted to compromise. And this has been going on for years. Susan Ford is now in her early 50s to mid-50s. She may be 55. Or so. Wrote a book, Thanks for the Memories. I've been reading that book. It's incredible, the stuff that she's written in there. But it is credible. And she describes how Frank Sinatra beat her. And how Bing Crosby, the guy that sings White Christmas, is turning all the lyrics into sexual innuendo and beating her and tying her up. And this is the guy that they portrayed in front of the in Boys Town with the Mitchell Choir Boys, one of whom I know because I did music work with Tony Butala and the Letterman when I was in Hollywood. And Tony talked about the sexual abuse that went on at Boys Town. Went on with him in the 50s and the 60s. It was still going on. It probably still is. Because we have the Franklin cover-up, which directly implicates the White House during the Reagan years. Reagan, Bush, all of those guys were involved in it. It wasn't just Larry King in Lincoln, Nebraska. Larry King went to jail for embezzlement of $40 million. They found 38. Where did the other 2 million go? Well, probably paid off a bunch of people that he was putting up in these penthouse parties in Washington, D.C. If you do the research, you'll see it. It was written by former Congressman John DeCamp, the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. And he made a movie. You can Google the movie, The Franklin Cover-Up, is all you have to do. You'll see the name John DeCamp. You'll see that I'm telling you the truth about it. Hit the newspapers. They had to pull all the newspapers out of Washington, D.C., but they didn't get all of them. It was on the headlines of the Washington Times. They could not let that get out. And it's funny, because Susan Ford writes about George Bush and Henry Kissinger and all this stuff, how they used this to compromise people, how they made her a mind-control slave. She wasn't just a sex slave. They turned her into a walking encyclopedia. She could go into a room and pick up every conversation verbatim and dictate it to Henry Kissinger after the event was concluded. Multiple conversations, both sides. She didn't have to be right there in front of the people. She could hear everything in the room. Because they trained her mind to do that. Just like they're training your mind to believe in illusions. They're training your mind to buy the things. They're training you to get sick. They allow you to be happy a little bit, but then it has to be depressing again. And they create these shootings around the world, especially in this country. You have all these school shootings. Their goal is to take your guns away from you and get rid of your Second Amendment rights. Now, I'm not one to believe in guns, although I know that they kill people. I'm not one to choose to kill people. But if I were to have a gun, it would be for self-defense. Can guarantee you that. But I'm not, because I would, if I made the decision to purchase a gun, I would not cop the attitude that some people have. Yeah, let me just go around shooting people. What you have to understand is that when these shootings take place, these people are programmed to do that. Just like they programmed what happened on 9/11. Just like the SARS epidemic and the bird flu epidemic. And the chemtrail spraying. And the fluoridation of the water and all the toxins they're putting in food. Toxins is a nice word for poison. They're poisoning the food that you eat. Oh, and it's amazing. It's amazing. All the diet drinks have some derivative of aspartame, which is rat poison. And I see people, I have to have my Diet Coke. I have to have my Diet Pepsi. I have to have my diet drink. Doesn't matter what brand it is, when they put the word diet on it and it's got aspartame in it, you're drinking rat poison. And then you wonder why you get sick. You wonder why your nerves are on edge. It kills a rat by attacking the nervous system. You're taking it in smaller doses than they give it to the rats. And as a result, your death is slower. And even when you stop drinking it, you have to get it out of your system. You have to purge it and hope that your nerves repair themselves. But if you're taking other medications to alleviate the problems that that causes, then you're going to come down with a whole host of diseases. Most of which are created by bacteria and viruses that were created in laboratories. With their science, with their alchemy. So I'm talking about illusions here, and I'm not going to leave you hanging and not offer anything to counter all of this. I'm just pointing out that this stuff doesn't go away. Now, in the process of moving to a solution, I want to reference an article that I wrote in this past month's Idaho Observer. And we called it a teaser the Three Stooges go to Washington. And I basically talked about some of what I'm talking about here, that people are voting for candidates that they parade in front of you. They don't allow you to nominate or us to nominate a person. They give us the person that they want. In fact, that's all we get. Does it have to be somebody in Congress or in the Senate that runs for president? No, it doesn't. But somehow the mind control is so great that we think, the person has to have experience. What? In being corrupt? Because if you look at it for what it really is, that's exactly what you're saying. Experience is someone that knows the ropes, someone that knows how to be corrupt, someone that contributes to the wanton killing of millions of people around the world as they beat the war drums to fill their coffers in their military-industrial complex, in their petroleum cabal, in their pharmaceutical cabal, in their central banks, where they create money out of thin air. Well, people say, I can't do anything about it. You know, why make waves? Can't do anything about it. No, I can't means I don't want to or I don't choose to. And I can't blame most people because they wouldn't know where to begin. But I'm telling you, you have to start someplace. If you love your family, if you love your children, if you love your friends, if you love your neighbors, if you love your country, if you love God, you will do something. So I can only assume that those that do nothing themselves, don't love their families, don't love their children, don't love their friends, don't love their neighbors, and they don't love God. That's the only conclusion I can come to. Because if it was otherwise, they would do something about it. Now, this article I referred to a moment ago in The Observer is basically talking about how these people set up their script. I'm not talking about the wars per se, but the players. You know, when you make a movie, you have a script. It's the storyline. They make a storyboard for the movie so that the people that are working on the production aspect of the movie get a feel for what the movie looks like, what the sets are going to look like, what the costumes are going to look like, what actors might work with it. What is the tone of the movie going to be? Where is it going to be? What are the images going to portray? So the storyboard sort of tells in pictures what to expect, and it's representative of the script. So the next thing is to pick the actors. Now, they've decided that they're going to take over the world. They want one world government. They want to call it the New World Order. Give it whatever name you want. They want to turn this into a 100% slave planet. That's the plot. And who are the actors? Our so-called leaders that we elect with corrupt elections and false promises and lies and deceptions and illusions. Those are the people that are running our country. These are the people that you have been given a choice to vote for. But you haven't been able to nominate the person you might choose. In fact, if you run, they do everything they can to stop you, especially if you're somehow gaining popularity. Congressman Ron Paul is an example of that. And I'm not saying that even he is squeaky clean, because I'm of the opinion that he's already made some blunders and lost a lot of support by some things that he said, but he said them for political expediency. Well, you don't want to alienate voters, but then again, stop and think. This is a corrupt election anyway. It doesn't matter if the whole country votes for Ron Paul. They'll flip the switches and the voting machines and show us another vote. And just like the results on American Idol, we will never really truly know who won. Just like 2000 when they stole the election from Al Gore. Not everybody had electronic Diebold voting machines, but what did they do? They made it the Hanging Chad. Have you ever heard of a Hanging Chad ever since 2000? Then in 2004, they did the same thing again. Because this is criminal enterprise. They're making trillions of dollars. They're stealing your money and my money and all our money. They're stealing it, and they're stealing your future and your family's future and your children's future and your friend's future and your relative's future and your neighbor's future and your country's future. They're stealing it and putting it in their own pockets. But we can't do anything about it. And what do you think God is saying to himself as he's watching all of this? What do you feel God is really seeing and really thinking and feeling about his creation on planet Earth here and mankind? Do you think he's looking at us thinking, wow, I did a really good job with them? If you knew all the satanic symbolism in the movies, especially for the kids, Disney movies are just loaded with it. And it's been that way from the beginning. You know, you've got a situation just like Sleeping Beauty that's been going on in Texas for the last month. You've got 40 men and 416 kids. Some of these men have as many as 20-some wives. This FLDS organization. You've got incest and inbreeding within the family. It's probably set up by the government to begin with. You don't build that size of a house from nothing. They probably funded the whole thing just as a social experiment. What do? They came in and put all the kids in to protect Child Protective Services. Like they're going to protect them. You mean they just found out that went on? That had been going on? Not hardly, but you see, that's part of the illusion. That's part of the script. They just walk in and put 416 kids into their bureaucratic extortion racket. And their pedophilia racket and their sex slave trade. Because they take these kids away, nobody's ever going to see these kids again. They give them the perverts in the foster care business, and the racket. They give them to medical communities to drug them up, inoculate them with all kinds of experimental drugs, sell them to Arab sheikhs. $50,000 a pop, auction them off. This goes on. This goes on with our children in our country. It's been going on for years. And everybody turns a blind eye. Oh, if you put a kid's picture on a milk carton, you know, maybe somebody will get lucky and find them. But at least they'll feel like we're doing something about it. I like to see politicians' pictures on milk cartons. And on the cards that they send you in the junk mail. Like, have you seen this person? It's just insane. The chaos that's going on is insane. Well, going back to my little piece that I wrote, I talked about all this deception, and I talked about the fact that everything they do is a big secret. But it's really dirty what they do, and I sort of use a pun and explain that They never describe big secrets as dirty. Only the little ones are dirty. They call them dirty little secrets. So I described some of the dirty little secrets, and it's basically just a tease. It's a lead-in. It's an introduction to the genealogical work that I've been doing for some months on these three candidates. In fact, I had one of them I had already researched quite extensively, McCain. When I was actually asked to do the article, I had a big portion of the research done. What you must understand is that this is not as simple as just going into a database that's already programmed to make me think that the illusion I'm seeing is the truth, because that's not how it's done. These things, names are changed, people are given false names, they don't have birth dates, or they don't have the correct birth dates, they don't have the correct birthplaces. And so really, imagine, if I said to you, okay, I have your car keys, and I threw them out into that field there that's 1,000 acres. See if you can find your keys. Where are you going to begin looking for your keys? And you're going to comb the whole thing, and by the time you have, it's quite possible that the keys have moved. Possibly to a place where you've already looked. That's how deep this kind of research is. Many times, everything is totally fabricated. Everything. And yet, if you know the truth, if you can discern the truth, you can find the way to point that out. And I came to find that out about the McCain family, that they're not who they say they are. And the things, the dirty deeds, the dirty little secrets about them have been kept from the general masses. McCain is a war hero. I was told that there's a big article in the LA Times that he's been the Pentagon determined he's a war hero. But they don't mention, you know, they talk about him being shot down over Vietnam and supposedly being held captive as a prisoner of war. Although everyone else that was there with him says he was never around. And there's evidence to show that he wasn't around. But they failed to mention in the official biographies that four times he destroyed an airplane or a jet fighter, whatever. Very expensive planes before he was shot down over Vietnam. They failed to mention, by and large, that he exercised a wet start during a sortie and blew fuel, in other words, in flames on ordnance that was sitting on the deck of the ship, killing 167 men from the crew. That's a hero? See, the script makes him the perfect candidate for the puppet, the kind of puppet they want in there. The man is delusional. He's suffering from Alzheimer's and Lord knows what else. He's got to be totally mind-controlled on top of it, on top of being psychotic and a warmonger. And people are saying, well, he's the best solution that we have. I'm going to cast my vote for him. Or there's those that are saying, well, you know, Barack Obama is a change. Things have just, they've been changing, folks, but just for the worse. They're never getting better. They're getting worse. And all I can see is the only kind of change Barack Obama would bring is a change for the worse. Now, how many of you know that a man named Larry Sinclair has alluded to multiple homosexual relations with Barack Hussein Obama? In a limousine, in hotel rooms, in nightclubs, smoking crack cocaine, having oral sex with Obama. How many of you know that in conjunction with that relationship, that the music director or choir director from his church was murdered and was a homosexual? And according to Larry Sinclair, the man that had the affair with Barack Obama, this other individual was jealous and threatened to expose him, and so they had him killed. It's been on the Jeff Rentz Show. Jeff Rentz, Rentz.com has the interviews published there. Larry Sinclair has his own blog site where he's challenging Obama's attorneys. Obama is hiring, you know, hitmen in a legal profession to attack Sinclair, as if he's not interested. These are side issues. The fact is that here you have another drug user, just like George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. They're all drug users. They're drug dealers, too. The biggest ones on the planet. And people are saying, oh, but we need change. You know, Barack Obama's a change. So you're going to have a full-blown homosexual drug addict leading this country. Not to mention the anomalies in his genealogy. Okay? Trust that I've gone down the rabbit hole, and I have discovered information that will blow even his mind. That anyone could find this. I used to say that I would find a needle in a haystack, but now I'm saying I find a piece of straw or a piece of hay in a needle stack. Because I've gotten that good at finding the little needles. Same with Hillary Clinton. Mind-blowing stuff. Mind-blowing. If you follow what they write in their biographies, you can see the holes. Okay? I'm just going to read a portion, and this is from NNDB, Tracking the Entire World. This is a story on John McCain, and then they write AKA John Sidney McCain III. Born August 29th, 1936, Coco Solo, Panama Canal Zone, Panama. Okay? Right there, he's ineligible to become president of the United States. Now, they want to say, well, his father was stationed there, this and that. His mother didn't have to be stationed there. In fact, the law says if you're not born on the continental United States or sovereign United States territory, that was not sovereign territory. That was a leased piece of land. It wasn't sovereign. He's ineligible to run for the presidency. Simple as that. Okay. I'm jumping into, now first of all, he graduated 894th out of 899 in his class. His father, they say, was the same. Very poor performance. And they say his grandfather was like 79th out of 116. But I have news for you. That's a lie, too. And I'll explain that when the article comes out this week in The Observer. It will be out, by the way. The first installment, part one. This article goes on to say his father was a 4-star admiral in the U.S. Navy, as was his grandfather. Okay. Listen to the language. His father was a 4-star admiral in the U.S. Navy, as was his grandfather. His grandfather was posthumously, meaning after he died, made an admiral. Okay? So he was not in the Navy when he died. So he couldn't have been an admiral in the Navy. You listen to the doublespeak there. They're twisting the truth because it's a lie. Now, they can give him, they can designate him or give him a promotion, designate him for purposes of pay grade or honoring him. I'll tell you, when you find out the facts behind who he is, you're going to resent the fact that they made him an admiral or that he was in the Navy. Or are you going to buy the illusion and just be in denial and crawl under a rock and or bury your head in the sand and say, well, I can't do anything about it, and anyway, I'm going to vote for Obama because he's going to give us change, or I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because she's going to give us health care. If she was going to give you health care, she would have had it done when her husband was president for 8 years, from 1992 to 2000. She would have done it then if that was her passion. In fact, she had $250 million to put it in place. What she never told anybody was that the Children's Defense Fund was a Navy SEAL project. It had nothing to do. And it probably had everything to do with shipping or smuggling drugs and buying them. Now, this article goes on to say the first Admiral McCain, that would be John Sidney McCain Sr., was commander of all U.S. carriers in the Pacific during World War II, stood at attention on the USS Missouri when the Japanese surrendered, and died of a heart attack 4 days later. Now, I guess did the Japanese surrender here in the United States? His other biographies say he died in Coronado, California. And now, this is saying that he died on the Missouri of a heart attack 4 days later. And I can tell you that ship didn't cross the Pacific in 4 days. No way. Not from Japan or anywhere near there. I would presume that it was somewhere around Japan. A McCain ancestor served on George Washington's staff during the Revolutionary War, and after the family had relocated to Mississippi, several McCains fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. Well, now, this is a bit of a stretch here. Now they're saying that one of the ancestors served on George Washington's staff, but they've been making claims that they're related to George Washington. That's not the same as, I mean, they're saying they're in George Washington's bloodline. I've done enough research to know that that's what they're saying. So that's a lie. And after the family had relocated to Mississippi, several McCains fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. And I can tell you that's a lie. That they weren't from Mississippi, and they were never there in Mississippi. Because their names were fiction. The name McCain is a fiction. It's a made-up name. It's a made-up name. It's a made-up genealogy. It's a made-up ancestry. It's a made-up hero. It's all made up. His mother, a wealthy oil heiress, okay? His mother, a wealthy oil heiress, eloped to Tijuana, Mexico at Caesar's Bar. They give the name of a place that doesn't exist, that no one can look. That's where they got married, in a bar in Tijuana, Mexico. The home of the Caesar's salad. Oh, my God. His mother is described as the anti-MAME of Navy wives. The family still chuckles about the day she went on an errand to buy a new dress and came home with a new Mercedes instead. At that time, that would have been a Nazi car. That's interesting that she would buy a Nazi car when she went out to buy a dress. And I can tell you that most likely the woman playing the role of the mother is not his mother. And similarly, the same goes for the father and the grandfather. They claim connections to royalty in England, and that might be the only part of the truth that they're telling. But the way they've described it is nothing like what I have found. And what I've found makes more sense of who this guy is than anything that I've yet read by any author, any historian, any biographer. I find that, and I cite this in the article, that there's a naval historian that remarks about the appearance of his grandfather. In fact, that's the first thing I noticed when I saw a picture of his grandfather. And so my research began from that premise. And it led me, eventually, I uncovered everything to explain who these people are. Now, there was, in 1933, little known to many people, there was a plot to take over the American government. And this plot was basically engineered by Prescott Bush, the grandfather of our current president. And they just about pulled it off. They had corporate interests working with them, some big companies. And then in the end, it didn't work out. They got caught, but in another way, they just kept going with their plans to take over this nation, to turn it into what they like to call the Fourth Reich, the continuation of Nazi Germany. And it's just by just totally corrupting everything about this country, the society, the people, our traditions, our ethnic ties, our banking system, our religion, everything. So it's no accident that McCain is playing the role he's playing, because he's doing it for the Bush family, as are the Clintons. You think, well, no, the Clintons are they're Democrat. They're the opposite pole. Well, that's the duplicity. That's the polarity that they're using. If you use discernment, folks, you can see it, that that's what's going on. People say, oh, the president, he's a nice man. He remembers everybody's first name. Yeah, that may be true. But he can't remember the oath he took when they swore him in to office. He had no intention of keeping that oath. To protect and preserve the Constitution, and he calls the Constitution a GD piece of paper. And has over 800 signing statements rewriting the law and turning it into a dictatorship. And he says, there's nothing wrong with a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator. And people just say, oh, you know, he can't be serious. What world leader makes those kind of jokes? What are they doing? You know, Lindsay Williams talked about, on my show, talked about their intention in 2008. He was saying this 30 years ago, by the way, to turn oil prices to where it drives a gallon of gas up to $5. And we're on the way. We're only about a dollar away from that. Some places are just a matter of a few cents away. They're destroying the economy of this country. And we made ourselves dependent upon oil, and we made ourselves dependent on drugs and support, because we allow them to take our freedoms away, and now we have to get permission to do anything. Pretty soon you're going to have a license to brush your teeth or to use the bathroom. And so what's our escape from this? Besides recognizing the illusion and seeing the script and seeing the actors and realizing that these are not actors just going before the cameras and they turn around and you know, you get used to watching actors in the movie. That's one reason why they promote the movie so much, not to mention it's additional brainwashing. But you see a guy like Robert Redford or Paul Newman or a woman like Meryl Streep Demi Moore, somebody that has a certain kind of charisma, a certain kind of personality that makes you like that person. And you know that they might be evil in the movie, but there's no way they can be that way in real life. So they're just acting. You kind of know that. Some people don't even know they're watching actors when they watch movies. They think they're just seeing real images. They don't watch the credits. The art directors are and the producers and the gaffers and the people that do the makeup and the costume stuff. They don't see that. They just want to see the story. They want to see the images. They want to get a feeling, good or bad. They want to just be swept up by the emotion and the imagery and lose all of their personal power. They want to give up their personal power. So when you go to real life and look at what's going on, it's even more depressing because you can't turn away from real life. You can walk out of the movie theater or you can turn off your TV, but you can't step out of life until you decide that you're going to get out of the box and then look at your other options. And that takes a decision that you are going to become responsible for what happens to you in your life. At that moment, you begin to free yourself from the matrix. And you can pray about it. You can pray to Jesus about it. And if you really mean it, he'll hear you and he'll respond. And they're deathly afraid of Jesus. They're deathly afraid of God coming to your assistance, even if that's only opening your eyes to see the truth, because God really doesn't have to. This is a free will universe. You can choose through your free will to have God be there with you. But then you have to play by his rules. You can't go on carrying on like these people are and pretending like you're interested in what God has to say about it. That's what blasphemy is. And that's probably what the unpardonable sin is that to mock God like they do. You're telling me that these people murdering millions of people around the world, including their own people, are not mocking God? Are not blaspheming God? Or the Holy Spirit? Or God's word or truth? Or love. In fact, when you begin to hear God's voice and act accordingly, you'll see all the love that there is in the universe that's been held back from us. And you'll choose that. You'll decide that that's the direction you want to go. And it's not going to be easy. No one said it was going to be easy, but you've had it easy your whole life. And if you don't wake up and start doing something, your life's going to be over pretty soon. And you're going to find yourself in a situation where either there's nothing you can do anymore to change what happens to you, or you're going to have an opportunity to correct it. And you're going to kick yourself in the teeth and in the rear end, or ask someone else to, and say, why didn't I see that? Why didn't I listen to those people that were trying to show me the truth? Why was I so unwilling to see myself for who I really am? We just give in so readily to momentary pleasures and illusion. And we're in denial. And the reason we do is because we fear. We give all the power to false evidence appearing real. That's why they call it reality shows, because I mean, stop and think, people. They're putting images into an electronic box that's spewing out light and sound, and they're calling that reality. And you're buying that as reality. If that's where your consciousness is, that is your reality. And when the power goes off, your reality ends. And your reality ends when they just decide to change it and make it something else, too. As long as you allow them to be in control. And where do you have the authority to take your life back? It was given to you by God. You are a sovereign being. Or intended to be sovereign. Now, if you're not sovereign, then you're not a sovereign being. You're an enslaved being. You're being enslaved. When you take back that gift of free will, then you are being sovereign, and you can call yourself a sovereign being. Well, they'll fight tooth and nail. They'll scratch your eyeballs out to keep you enslaved. While they indulge themselves in all of their perversions, and their corruption. Think about these things, and this is kind of leading up to tomorrow's show. I have a very interesting guest scheduled for tomorrow, Pastor Matthew Stephen, and he's going to be talking about prophecy. And this is Not prophecy or interpretation of prophecy as it is in the Bible, per se. It will touch upon that, but it's going to talk about visions that this man has been given about where we are headed as a nation and where this world is headed. And you don't want to miss that if you sincerely care about you and your family and your children and your relatives and your friends and your neighbors. In your country and the world. You've been listening to Evident Footprints. My name is Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you same time tomorrow night. Meantime, I'd like to thank Seth Hendrick for some great sound and Don Newsom for making this show possible. You have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and a good night.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.